The epistle reading today tells us that we should be protected with the armor of God. St. Paul describes holiness, the Word of God, the gospel, salvation, like armor that the soldier puts on. These are the things of warfare. A breastplate, a shield. The breastplate of holiness, he says, or righteousness. This is a life free of sin. You might say, well, that's impossible, isn't it? Well, no, it's not. But regardless, we can surely try. Imagine going out into battle without a breastplate. That is the heavy bronze plate that would cover the chest. When you go out into this world and you encounter the enemy, the evil one, who comes to you in the workplace, who comes to you in the grocery store, who comes to you in your own home, while you're at the computer or with friends, you better be wearing a breastplate of holiness. When those darts begin to fly, imagine a soldier who is not properly protected. Without the breastplate, if one of those arrows or spears passes by the shield unnoticed, it will bounce off the breastplate. Again, you might say, but if this is sinlessness, righteousness, how can I have a breastplate? Well, we build the greatest breastplate we can. We go into battle with the breastplate that we have. And we try to strengthen it as we continue in our walk of salvation. Imagine a shield. A shield that does not keep off the arrows or the spears of the enemy. St. Paul compares our salvation like a helmet. Our faith like a shield. Our boots, our shoes, our sandals, like the gospel. Our sword, the Spirit of God, that is His Word. Are we fully equipped when we go out into battle? Are we fully equipped? Do we have all of the parts of the, all the equipment we need? Well, how do we get them? Well, the sword, the Word of God. We have to read the Word of God. We have to pray, meditate upon the Word of God. When I'm busy, you know, I try, but I forget. A very simple way to do this is to take the bulletin home each week, or you can download it off the internet, and simply read the epistle and gospel reading of the Sunday each morning when you wake up. Or maybe at your lunch break, or before you go to bed. It's a very easy way to meditate upon the epistle or the gospel all throughout the week. And I promise you, if you think, I could read it each, you mean how many times should I read this thing? As many times as it takes. Right? So, read the epistle, read the gospel. I promise you, you could read this epistle or this gospel reading every day for the rest of your life, and every day you'd see something new. Because the Word of God is eternal. I teach Scripture for a living. I can't even begin to count how many times I have read a particular passage of the Bible. Think of Genesis chapter 1 or something. And I tell you, every single time I teach a course and we begin in Genesis chapter 1, I see something new. It's something I did not see before. Well, that's amazing. Because the Word of God is eternal. And it is always there, always new, always fresh, like a spring of water gushing forth from the foot of Mount Sinai. Right? That river of life, the Word of God. What about our faith? That shield that St. Paul says we should have. When we encounter challenges in life, when we struggle, what do? We hold up our shield of faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. We make the sign of the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. Think of the Israelites when they were approaching the Red Sea. They have come out of Egypt. Moses is leading them. And here they come to a big body of water. Well, this isn't supposed to be here, Moses. Now what do? Moses begins to cry out to the Lord. The people cry out, what are we going to do? And suddenly the Egyptian army is coming in upon them. The people panic. They begin to accuse Moses of trying to draw them out there to kill them all at the hand of the Egyptians. And Moses says, Lord, what shall we do? And God says, Moses, what are you crying out for? Raise up your staff and move forward. Where? Into the water? No, on the journey that God has put before you. And when you do that, the Spirit, the wind will part the waters and the dry land will appear. Just like in the first creation. So when we encounter difficulties in our life, things seem to be going well, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves standing in front of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, that is Satan and his demons, coming upon us. We simply make the sign of the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And the waters part. The Spirit of God comes. The wind blows. And we cross on dry land. And just as at our baptism, Satan and his minions, Pharaoh and his soldiers, are washed away in the sea. That's all. Jesus says to his disciples, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be up and tossed into the sea, and it would happen. How do we acquire that kind of faith? Well, exercise. Exercise. Build that shield. Use it daily. No matter how small it is or how thin it is, use it. And the more you use that shield, the more you hold up the sign of the cross, the bigger and stronger that shield becomes. Make sure that as you walk throughout this journey of life, make sure that your feet are shod with the gospel, the good news. What is the good news? This is what's missing today. This is what's missing in our world. This is why Christians don't go to church anymore. This is why your children may not be interested in church. Because we don't preach the gospel anymore. We don't preach the gospel in our homes. We don't preach the gospel in church. Many Christians have forgotten the gospel. But the gospel is this. That God created man to dwell with him for all eternity. In the family home called the Garden of Eden. Now, who doesn't like a garden? Who in here doesn't take joy when I say hummingbird or flower or bee? You can smell the flowers. You can hear the water rushing and trickling through the garden. This is your memory of the place from which we came and to the place that we will return, the Garden of Eden. As you know, man left the garden as a result of his sin. He left the presence of God, his joy, his happiness, the place where he dwelt with God. And God came to him again in Moses' sanctuary. The glory cloud resided among his people. Then again in Solomon's temple. And finally, the Garden of Eden was replanted, and his name is Jesus Christ, where man and God dwell together again. He is the source of our life. And we can see that even though he was put to death, he rose from the dead. Christos Anesti. Al Messiah come. Christ is risen. Do we believe it? We who are baptized into Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, have died with him, have been buried with him, and raised with him. Hear the past tense? Raised with him to newness of life. And now, as St. Paul goes on to say, we only await our bodily resurrection. We may, as he says in chapter 8 of that epistle, sigh and groan with this present creation as we wait for this creation to be raised from the dead, as we wait for our bodies to be raised from the dead, when we who are the children of God will be revealed as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. We wait for Him to return. In the meantime, He gave us the holy mysteries. We have been baptized into Christ. We have been chrismated. We are clothed again in the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus said, He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life within him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And as we read in the book of Revelation, when that day comes, the heavenly Jerusalem will again be on earth. The Garden of Eden will be replanted, and God's dwelling will be with man. This was God's original plan, and it will not be thwarted. And this is the good news that we should be shod with as we go about this world. When we encounter death and sadness and sickness, we come to our neighbors, we come to our friends, we come to our family, and we proclaim to them the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what we are shod with as we walk throughout this world, waiting for His return. We do not want to be like the fool we heard about in the gospel today, who looked upon the bounty that he had. His grain bins were already full. He had everything he could want. And then he had a harvest that was so great, he had nowhere to store all of the grain. Now, why do you think he was given that kind of abundance? We've talked about it before, and St. Paul has mentioned it. It's from our abundance that we are to care for those around us. We talked already last week about almsgiving. What was this man to do with that which was given to him that was above and beyond his need? To help those around him who were in need. But instead, what did he do? Instead, he tore down his grain bins and built bigger ones. So, as he says, he could sit back, eat, drink, and be merry, while his neighbor, like Lazarus the poor man, is starving at the door. What do we do with the abundance God has given us? And I'm not just talking about abundance of money. As you know, all Americans, I don't care, the most poor of the poor in America have an abundance. You know this. Some of you have come from places where you know where there's real poverty. We all have abundance here in America. But just not only of money, but of time. There are places in this world where people work from sunup to sundown and go to bed exhausted and do it all over again the next day. Americans, we have so much time on our hands, we create inventions to occupy ourselves. Right? The computers, the iPhones, the iPads, the i-whatevers. Goes on and on. The Nintendos the kids are running around with, right? Or whatever they're doing today, I don't know. Those things they push around. There are kids those age that are in other places that have been working for years and work all day long, and these kids are pushing buttons with their thumbs and getting carpal tunnel syndrome. The abundance of money, the abundance of time, the abundance of food that we just throw away, the abundance of talent that God has given us. What do we do with these things? With that abundance, God says, give to those who are around you who are in need. And then you will always have what you need. Because someday we will be like that man to whom God said, you fool, this very night your life will be taken from you. And what have you done with what I have given you? These are the things to meditate upon. All of us, I myself, all of us, to meditate on these things daily throughout this Nativity fast. As we prepare for the great coming, the great gift, the coming of God to His people, to dwell among them. Not in an earthly tent of goat skin like Moses made. Not like an earthly building of limestone like Solomon made. But in the body of mankind. Let us glorify Him. Let us prepare for this great event who has given us so much abundance. And to Him be glory with His eternal Father and His all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and into ages of ages. Amen.